As you're seated, please turn with me to the right for a second week to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And if you need a Bible this morning, there are pew Bibles in the rack on the chairs there. And if you turn to page 1058, you will find for a second week John chapter 1. I have a question for you this morning, 2 days before Christmas. And here it is. Who do you think he is, this man they call Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee, the Jesus that we've just read of. Who do you think he is? And you should not ignore this issue. You cannot for your own good, because the Bible says that all of eternity rests on what you decide and how you answer that question about the identity of Jesus Christ. The answer you give will determine where you spend eternity. It's that important, whether in heaven or in hell. And I can't think of anything more relevant and timely. I can't think of anything more pressing than this burning issue of the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is he? We better settle that one. Now, many people are content to just repeat the opinions of others about Jesus. He was a good man, great teacher, surprising in some of his actions, and the disciples, the closest followers of Jesus Christ, well, they tried that with him. He asked them, as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, who do people say he is? And the disciples were content to list off the most popular answers. Jesus' survey says, and they just told them what the people were saying. How easy it is to mouth the opinions of others without having personal conviction yourself. It's easy to repeat what other people say and not take a stand. But you see, Jesus would not let the discussion end there. He asks his disciples, this is Matthew 16, 15, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Okay, thank you for giving me the opinions of others, but where are you at? And that's my question for you today, all of you. Not what other people believe and say about Jesus, but who do you confess him to believe? Who do you think and believe and say that Jesus is? That's the question. I'm convinced on the authority of Scripture that Jesus Christ is truly the greatest man who ever lived. Absolutely, beyond any doubt. He is the most wonderful person ever. But you see, he is far more than a man, or what we just read was horrendous blasphemy. Because people all throughout his life, beginning with the Magi, as you saw there in Matthew's gospel, all throughout Matthew's gospel, Mark, Luke, John, they worshiped him as God. How can that be if he's a mere man? He is far more than a man. I want you to see this today, to read and respond rightly as you understand the Word of God. And I want you to know for the second week that the Christ of Christmas is the light of the world. And I'm so glad to preach that and privileged to preach that. And I want to show you this for a second week from John chapter 1. And so allow me to read for you John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. This is called the prologue. It goes down to verse 18, and we're going to look at the end tomorrow night, Lord willing, at our Christmas Eve service. But for this morning, I want to read down to verse 14. This is from the closest follower, perhaps the closest friend of Jesus during his lifetime, John the Apostle, who loved to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this is what he writes for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the one of a kind, or the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want to make 6 points this morning, and then, as I said, I want to continue in this passage tomorrow night on Christmas Eve. It's 5 p.m. right here in the worship center, and I invite you to come. And we try to make it early so that you can come and then have family time afterwards. So then, who is Jesus Christ? Why is he so great? And why in the world would we want to celebrate the birthday of a dead guy from 2,000 years ago? What's the big deal? Who do you think he is? This man we call Jesus. Well, first, point one, know this about him. Notice, the light is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. God's full and final revelation, and all other quote-unquote lights are pretenders. Notice what John says about Jesus. Verse 1 again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He calls Jesus the Word. And then in verse 14, and notice, the Word became flesh. And what does John mean by calling Jesus the Word? That's not typical. It's not even a common title for Christ. And in fact, out of these 18 verses that we call the prologue, the introduction to the Gospel of John, outside of this prologue to John's Gospel, the title only shows up elsewhere in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, and it shows up in Revelation 19:13, and that's it. And those are also books by John, this apostle, this follower of Christ. And here's what I want you to understand about Jesus, the light of the world. He is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. He is the Word of God. And what we are to understand by that is that he is God's self-expression. He is God's self-revelation. He is God communicated. He is God expressed. Jesus is God speaking to man as God himself. Jesus is God speaking to man as God himself. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, that's our 39 books of the Old Testament, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Who is Jesus Christ? We see, as the Word of God, he is God's full and final revelation to you. He's God's final, full, complete message to you, to me. God showing us what he's like. And praise God that he's a communicator, that he loves to reveal himself. He loves to show himself, who wants to be known and understood by us as his creatures, by us who are created in the image of God. And so he's given us God, his Son, God the Son, to show us himself. And so look at chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only or the one of a kind God, who is in the bosom of the Father or at the side of the Father, he, that is Jesus, has explained him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the Word. John says, no one has seen God the Father. No one can and live. Because you see, God is perfectly holy and we're unholy. If you and I were to see God right now, we would drop dead. No one has seen God in his complete person. Moses, you remember, asked to see God, and God says, you know what, I'll pass by you and you'll see me, my backside. But no one can see the fullness of God and live. We would all die. But God the Father sent God the Son to explain and interpret and reveal God to us. And so here's John the writer, the apostle, as I said, probably Jesus' closest friend, his closest follower, and he tells us Jesus is the Word, the Word. And in John's gospel, it's fascinating because he puts this unique emphasis on the words of Christ, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call those the synoptic gospels because they're very similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you know this as you read through them. The parallels, the overlaps are great, but John kind of sticks out. John wrote at the end of that first century, and he completes the picture, and he gives us things that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did not, that the synoptic gospels do not. And John's gospel puts this special, unique emphasis on the words of Christ more than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because you see, Jesus is the Word of God, the one who reveals God. And so when you read through the Gospel of John, you can do this, compare it to the other three Gospels, and you will find again and again this emphasis, this strong emphasis that John gives to Christ's words, his teaching, his preaching, his explanations. About 4/5 of chapter 1 to 17 of the Gospel of John, 3/4 of chapters 1 to 20 consists of Jesus' sayings, his dialogues, his monologues, Jesus talking. So then you see, John is uniquely emphasizing Jesus' speech, his word, his words, his testimony, his commandment, his commandments. You'll see all those words and that focus, key words throughout his gospel. Have you gotten the message? Jesus is the light, God's full and final revelation. His great and glorious message to you and all of us, this is God's message through his Son. What Jesus says, what Jesus is. Notice verse 9. He is the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. We covered that last week. Jesus is the light, the true light, the real, the genuine, the ultimate light, the genuine and ultimate revealer of God. And that means that all other so-called lights, and I put those in quotes, they're pretenders. They'll claim to be lights. But you see, all they'll do is they'll keep you in the dark. And so many people in history, religious leaders and teachers, prophets, philosophers, they all claim to be the light. They all claim to give light. They want people to follow them. But 2 Corinthians 11:14 warns us and warns you. Listen, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. If Satan were to appear to us, he'd probably look fairly beautiful. And we might even be tempted to worship him. The devil blinds, the devil deceives, and that means that you must go to the one and only true light, Jesus Christ alone. He's come into the world to show you the way. He's come into the world to show you God. He's come into the world to show you the way of life and salvation, how to be rescued, what it means to have God's life in you. Are you still in the darkness this morning, if you are honest? Could it be that you've been deceived and misled by others, pretenders, claiming to be lights? Look to Jesus, the true light. Listen closely this morning as we study God's clear word, because speaking of Jesus, Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation, listen, in no one else. It's a very narrow way, the way of salvation. There's a very broad road that leads to destruction, and God's way is a very narrow way. And Jesus says, few find that way. So you don't want to be on that broad road. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? There's no other Savior. There's no other light. That's why Jesus, who only spoke the truth, said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the light of the world. Receive him. Respond to him. Believe in him. Welcome him. And then there's a second point I want you to see today. Notice, the light is eternal. Darkness is only temporary. Notice again, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you hear that? Now that should sound a lot to you like the first verse of the Bible. You know what I mean? Page one of the Bible. And what's on page one? Genesis 1:1. And what do we read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? The Bible doesn't prove to us the existence of God. It just assumes it because he is. And it just starts at the beginning with God who creates out of nothing the heavens and the earth. Yes, he did. So then John 1:1 takes us all the way back to the time when the heavens and the earth were first created, at the beginning of time. And it tells us, you see, that Jesus was already there at the very beginning. The universe has a beginning. It's not eternal. It was created by God out of nothing. But before the beginning, if I can put it that way, Jesus already was. He is eternal. He always has been, and he always will be. Do you get that? You see how he's unlike us. He's God. And that's why Jesus says in Revelation 22:13, remarkable words. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega, those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, the first and last of 24 letters. And Greek is, of course, the language that the New Testament was written in. Jesus is the beginning. He was there at the beginning, and he was there before there was a beginning. Because listen, he is the beginner, right? He's the originator of all things. And he will be there at the end because he is the end. And that means that he rules over all of history from beginning to end. History is his story, and he will bring all of history to his ends, to the appointed goals and conclusion that he has already set as Lord. See, wow. Okay, so that baby we just read about, no mere baby, right? Oh, and it was right for the Magi to worship him. He began all things. He'll determine their close, the end. He rules over all things in between. Jesus Christ is the only man in all of history who is eternal. He's eternal. He stands before time. He stands outside of time. He acts in time, but he is ageless. He is ancient. He is the Lord of time. He created time, even though there wasn't one time in his life that he ever looked at a wristwatch. Think about that. He created time, even though he never looked at a wall during his lifetime to see an electric clock. He created it. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word, imperfect tense. The light is eternal. But listen, this I love saying this part too. The darkness is only temporary. See, we get so used to the darkness, the sin, the evil around us. but it's only temporary. The days of darkness are truly numbered. Evil will be defeated. The light will completely triumph in the end, and you will see it happen. And so will I. We're going to see it happen. So I got a question for you then. So which side are you on? We're talking about light and we're talking about dark. And which side are you on? Honestly. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. John again, who wrote the gospel, this is the first of his three epistles. And in 1 John 2:17, he makes this remarkable statement. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts, because, you see, the one who does the will of God abides or lives forever. He's saying this present, dark, satanic world, it's doomed. But it seems so solid. It seems so permanent. It seems, you know, rock solid, like it's going to go on and on forever. And John says, oh no, it's passing away as we speak. Its days are numbered, its end is coming, and its end is certain. It's crumbling. Even as we're talking now, some nearly 2,000 years after John wrote that, it's just continuing to crumble and fall apart. But for Christians, those who do God's will, they will live with him forever. The world passing away. Christians, they're going to live with God forever. The evil world, temporary. But Christians have this eternal home with Christ forever, eternal life. And so I say to you this morning, then come out of the darkness. Why would you want to stay in the darkness? Come to the light while you can. Come to Jesus now, today. Today. And then back to John chapter 1, there's a third point. And I want you to see it. Notice, the light is God. Dark forces are only finite creatures by comparison. Back to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is Jesus, who is the light of the world? He is God. Now we're stepping into deeper waters, aren't we? We're moving beyond a great teacher and a miracle worker. And we're talking about God himself. The Word was God. What God was, the Word was. The Word, Jesus Christ, shared the very nature and being of God. The words and deeds of Jesus are the words and deeds of God himself. Jesus is God, not a God. Don't let anybody fool you. There's not one known Greek scholar of any repute who's ever said such a thing, who's ever translated John 1:1 as Jesus is a God. He's not a God. He's not any less than God. He is the one true only God, God the Son. That's who Jesus is. And listen, think about it. Because sometimes we need to step out of, you know, we're just so accustomed to this. But let me ask you, has anybody ever worshiped you? No one's ever worshiped me, but they did worship Jesus, and we read it this morning. And why worship him? Because he is God. Those magi traveled hundreds of miles over all those days to come and worship Jesus because he is God. I'm not God. And you're not God, but Jesus is. Listen to Thomas. After Thomas saw and touched the risen Lord Jesus, after he touched his resurrection body, remember, formerly doubting Thomas, he cries out in John 20:28, "My Lord and my God." He got it right, didn't he? My Lord and my God. You see, if Jesus were not God, then this entire book of John and our New Testament and our Bible, it would be blasphemy. That would be just totally wrong. It would be wrong. People bowing before him if he were not God. See, Jesus Christ then, he's no mere man. He's not even just a great man. He is the man who is God. He's the God-man. Jesus can't be ignored or overlooked. He's too important. In fact, he's too central. He is in the center of all that God is doing in all of history. He is God. And so I ask you this morning, have you undervalued Jesus? Have you misunderstood him? Have you maybe even ignored or slighted the one who is God? The Lord Jesus, who is God? He's God over you. He's God over all the false gods. He's the one and only true God. And under this point, I want you to see then, dark forces, Satan, demons, they're just finite, weak, wimpy, puny creatures by comparison. They're of no account. They're defeated already. They're doomed. So look to Jesus, because he's God. You need him. And so this morning, worship him and believe in him and submit to him. Yield your life to him. But we're not done yet. There's a fourth point that I want you to see. Notice, the light is the creator. His dark enemies depend on him to exist, and he will judge them all one day. Look at verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus Christ is the only man in history, listen, who created you. Who created you? That's right. He's your maker. He's your creator. I know, we like to think of him as that harmless little baby, right? Babies can't do much. Just keep him in the manger and keep him kind of set in place right there, okay? I can deal with that Jesus in my sin because I kind of can ignore him. I mean, it's easy to ignore a baby. But when I realize, wait a minute, he grew up and he came as my maker, my creator. Verse 10, notice the world that he entered, the world was made through him. Verse 3, all things viewed distributively, one by one and without any exception, all things were created through him. Well, that's a remarkable baby. That's the creator. Colossians 1:16, all things without exception were created by him and for him. And further, he upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. He sustains all of life. In him we live and move and exist. That's because of Jesus, the creator and sustainer. And I mean this, that last breath that you just took. And you probably didn't think about it. We don't think about it. We have so many more important things on our mind. That last breath that you took, that came from the Lord Jesus and no other. He's keeping your heart beating. He's keeping you alive. Your creator, the sustainer of your life. And that means this morning that his dark, twisted, evil enemies, all of them, without exception, depend on him moment by moment to exist. Isn't that amazing? His enemies would cease to exist if he so chose to let them expire. He gives them the strength that they use to turn around and oppose him. He's given you life, and what have you done with your life granted you by Jesus? Have you used your life to live for him and obey him and follow him and love him and adore him like none other? See, Jesus sustains the whole universe and all of us and even his enemies, but only for a short while. Then he's going to judge them all one day. One day, every knee will bow before him, every tongue will confess him as Lord, to the glory of God his Father. He is sustaining them in their rebellion for now. But one day, all of his enemies are going to be placed under his feet like a footstool, says the Bible. So then, you must bow before him willingly now, today. You don't know if you have another day. You don't know if you get another breath. You have to call on him to save you. Or you see, you're going to be forced to do so later. I'm just telling you the truth. And at that point, it'll be too late. See, God the Father has handed over all judgment to his Son so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father, John 5, 22 and 23. And so I ask you, are you ready to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for your life? Because you see, you will. Every one of us will. And get ready. The Lord Jesus, he sees you now. I mean, you can do your best to ignore him, but he knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking right now. He's the creator. He's controlling all events, all circumstances, every happening in your life, and everywhere. He rules the universe. He rules over you. Don't resist him. This Christmas season, this is the time, today, to turn from your rebellion against him and ask him to save you. And he will. He will. Right now. Do it. Heed the warnings of God's word. And back to our text. Two more points I want you to see. And here's the fifth one. Notice the light has come as one of us and has illumined the darkness forever. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, says John. Glory is of the one of a kind, the unique, the beloved Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, the eternal Word, the infinite, glorious Creator and Sustainer of all. He became a man. We just read it, didn't we, in Matthew chapter 2. He became a man, the God-man, the Word became flesh, and God lived for 33 years on planet Earth. Isn't that remarkable? He lived right here. Notice verse 4 again. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So here's the light, God the Son, who became a man. He came here to shine, to illuminate the darkness, to tell and show us the truth. He is the truth. Truth is a person. Do you want answers this morning? Are you sick of lies and spin and propaganda and conspiracy theories? And do you want to just get to the truth? What's really the truth? Ultimate truth? Final, rock, solid reality? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. He's the truth. The person, verse 9, there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. The light has come. He's transformed the darkness. He has changed history forever, enlightening every man, every person. He shows us in our true spiritual condition. Some are shown to be evil because they did not know or receive Jesus. That's what verses 10 and 11 go on to say. But others are revealed to be righteous, believers who receive Christ, who are born of God. Verses 12 and 13. The true light, Jesus Christ, shines on all. And he forces this distinction. Christ the light divides the human race. Are you his enemy or are you his friend? Have you received him? Or do you continue to reject him? Where do you stand? Here's my last point, your only hope. Notice point 6, the light is the Savior who rescues sinners from the darkness, bringing them into the light. That's your only hope. The light who is the Savior of sinners. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So then this morning, Turn from your sin. Come out of the darkness. Give up the rebellion. Stop the fighting against God. Repent, which means you turn in sorrow from your sin and you believe, you depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your only hope. Believe in Jesus. Follow him in the light. I mean, don't you want that? In the light. And he is the only person who can save you. This mighty God, this Lord and Creator, the light. And I end with this. Stop running from him. If you know that's true of you, stop running from him. You see, don't run from him. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run from Christ. There's no way to get away from him. He's everywhere. It's his universe. Instead, I pray for you this morning that you would see his love and you would see his grace and you would see his mercy and you would see his sacrifice for you and you would run not away from him but run to him. Run to him. There's no safety apart from Jesus Christ. There is all safety in Jesus Christ, the only Lord and Savior. And so we end again with John 1:12. But as many as received him, it is a term of intimacy, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Open your heart, open your arms wide, and receive him. Receive him. Welcome him. And this will be the greatest day of your life. This will be the most wonderful Christmas you've ever celebrated. Because you'll see him rightly. You'll find life, life in Jesus Christ. You will be forgiven and reconciled to God. And you will be with him forever. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how good you are to send your Son on this amazing, this shocking mission to planet Earth, to be the light, to reveal you, to speak your words as your full and final revelation. Coming in the person of God the Son, the Word who became flesh. And this is miracle of all miracles, that God would stoop so low and come so far down. And yet he did this because God so loved the world, the evil, rebellious world, that he gave his one of a kind, his unique Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I thank you for such mercy. I thank you for such an amazing gift, our Father, the gift of your Son. I thank you for the light of Christ. I thank you for the light of your Word, and I pray, just like you did with Lydia, would you open hearts today to receive and give this warm, open-hearted welcome to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. May this be the day of repentance and faith, trust in him and him alone to save as only he can. And all glory goes to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.